TNKR Media.
Welcome to Inspiring Entrepreneurs. This has been our 15th season showcasing stories from outstanding business people presented by BDO Canada. My name is Dan Delmar, along with Mike Newton of BDO for our season finale. Mike, hello.
Hey, Dan. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
So we're debating who to invite on our big season finale. And we chose someone who really was a self-starter, someone who started in the media business and then created this empire and is now just this plank of a grocery chain. Ricardo is on the program today. He's just so omnipresent, not only in Quebec media, but in our dining rooms too.
Most definitely. I mean, he's a fascinating man to talk to. He's got presence. He's got character. He's got passion, like you wouldn't believe. You know, sometimes you get a guest on the radio show, you're never too sure, you know, where it's going to go. Once they get in front of the microphone, I have zero concern that we're going to get quite the show out of Ricardo today.
He's a really fascinating person. His name, by the way, is Ricardo Larrivé, co-founder of Ricardo Media. And he'll tell a story how he began as a CBC broadcast technician and now is really becoming sort of a lifestyle brand, not unlike Oprah or Martha, you know, or others. You know, his version of that in Canada, his passion for food and his humble beginnings all on the program today. So Ricardo is a true inspiration.
Yeah, most definitely. It's interesting to hear him talk. I'm not sure he was a technician. He might have been a failed technician, I think, you know, at the beginning. So, you know, it is fascinating to listen to the journey and the story that he's had along the way. But it's also equally inspiring to listen to why food to him is important and what that means to people and bringing people together around the table and conversation and exchanging ideas. So he's a man who is not short of an opinion, and I'm not usually short of an opinion either, so I can guarantee we'll have quite the good banter going on.
And speaking of one of the kings of digital media in Quebec, we'll talk about digital media with our specialist and the producer of the show, Ariel Blais. And Ariel is a marketing specialist at BDO Canada, and she'll talk about some strategies for online marketing, especially in the summer when some of that dies down. So that is all on the way. And speaking of Ricardo, let's get to some news and notes, Mike. And first, I want to talk about the grocery industry, because on the show today, we talk about Ricardo's involvement with IGA and his presence in that grocery store, the deal he has with the owners of IGA. At the same time, there's all this boycotting talk right now about major chains like Loblaws, for instance. There are some leaders that put themselves out there in this space. It's a very tough space, the grocery industry. We've had a couple of grocers on the program. Very low margins and, frankly, a lot of anger directed towards these people sometimes. Is it risky to put yourself out there, especially in that industry?
Well, I think in any industry, it's risky to put yourself out there. And I think what you have to recognize is, why are you putting yourself out there? You need to be putting yourself out there for the right reason. And it should not be ego-driven. It should not be, a desire to steal the spotlight. We do know there are a number of leaders that are like that, that just like to hear themselves talk at the end of the day. I think if you're going to put yourself out there, because, you know, recognizing that as a leader, you are going to be associated with the organization that you are leading. So it's very difficult to break away in today's world, no matter whether it's social media, whether it's online, whether it's television. I mean, you're always going to carry that moniker of leading an organization. You got to make sure, if you're going to go out there, that you're doing it in the best interest of the organization, and it's just not a free will. I mean, I always used to joke, people would say, oh, do you have a Twitter account? Do you have anything? No, I'm afraid I'm going to have a drink or two and say something I shouldn't in a passionate moment. And not that you shouldn't lead with passion, but the passionate moment needs to be for the right reason as well.
And certainly if you're putting yourself out there, you have to accept that sometimes people are going to be upset when you raise your prices. And that can get tricky, especially if you're someone like Mr. Weston, who's facing a boycott lately.
Well, I have to say that right now, the world that we're living in, everybody seems to be boycotting something. And it's a very, very difficult environment right now because even if you are doing the right thing, you're still going to be perceived by many to be doing the wrong thing in their mind. Everybody's self-absorbed and this, I'm not commenting on the grocery prices. I'm talking on the fact that the reality of the world that we're living in is people are missing the bigger picture on a lot of things, and it becomes very difficult. And the grocery industry has taken a big hit. Yes, you're 100% right. There are very slim margins. It's all on volume. There is, in many areas, a lot of waste. Is there a better way for them to be running business? Is there a better way for deal with spoilage and waste? 110%. I mean, there's no doubt that we can continue to be getting better in all of these environments. But I just don't know where this utter contempt for society stops at some point, and we start to take it upon ourselves to do something other than just protest. I mean, it's nice to be able to stand out there and give an opinion and a protest side, but it's another thing to do something about it. And I think that's what we're lacking right now, is we're lacking people that want to actually take a step, take a stand, and help make a difference, as opposed to push. I always said that, it's the easiest job in the world to be the leader of the opposition. All you're doing is poking holes in an environment. Well, when you got to be on the other side and you got to make a decision, it's a little more complicated.
I want to move on to a quick guest update now. This was interesting. So Rubino Shoes, they were on last season, I believe. They've been sold to a U.S. giant, Designer Shoe Warehouse. And Rubino Shoes started in 1988 with one little boutique in Terrebonne and then grew across the province with, I think, dozens, really, at one point of stores. So congratulations to Angelo and the Rubino family on that.
Yeah, once again, quality and ingenuity in the Montreal marketplace. We showcase week after week the quality of entrepreneurs in Montreal. So it's really nice to see, nice to see that. I guess the financial success. It's always a big, difficult decision to sell the family business and move it to somewhere else, and which I guess will ultimately be happening here. It's nice to see the success for somebody who's worked very hard to get the payoff.
We have to do some more guest updates, and I think we'll do that on our next episode. We will release an episode digitally over the summer, so do stay tuned for that. And do subscribe, please, because we'll always release little nuggets and have little extra bits of wisdom here and there online. And subscribe on iHeartRadio, Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. It's on all of them. Just look for Inspiring Entrepreneurs Canada now, as we look as well to profile other entrepreneurs nationally. So as for the future of the show, we're going to take a pause for the summer, and we hope to have more news on that and hopefully be back in the fall on CJD. But we'll certainly put out some more content online, so do subscribe there. And as I look back on the season, Mike, let's quickly go through some of our favorite guests, because I look back at some of the entrepreneurs just from this last season, and my mind is pretty blown. Grizzly Fumoir, that's one that was in pretty much every grocery store. That's the smoked salmon and the prepared fish. So Grizzly and Laura Boivin was one of the ones who kicked off our season. Safari Condo as well, with Dominique Nadeau. We saw those, that van life company, the original Quebec van life company. Pretty strong start to the season with those two.
What I love about the exercise is every week we get that passion, and our listeners have heard me say over and over and over again that from an entrepreneurial environment, you don't succeed unless you've got passion, unless you've got that ability to execute and that ability to understand that effect that you have on people around you. And it always amazes me when I listen to people and that ability to take a thought past the thought, move it into something else and go from there. And I really do, hats off. I'm not going to pick a favorite. I don't necessarily want to go in that direction, because I think the fascination to me always is meeting new entrepreneurs and seeing what they've got an ability to bring to the table that, you sit there and you go, why didn't I think of that? Or, how come nobody else I knew thought about that? And you realize it takes something special to not only come up with an idea, but to do something with it.
There is a couple of good ones. I have no one favorite, but I think one of my favorites, certainly in the restaurant category, would be the chat we had with Chef Fred Morin, the co-founder of the Joe Beef Group. I mean, such an iconic restaurant. You've probably had business dinners at Joe Beef, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've had the occasional one there, yeah.
Yeah, so has the former president, Barack Obama. I mean, just a really iconic restaurant. They went into retail as well. So many restaurateurs did, which I thought was an interesting pandemic pivot. You must have noticed a lot of your favorite restaurant brands now in your grocer's freezer lately.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting to, you know, I probably need to get to the grocery store a little more often. I spend too much time behind a desk, but every time I do go in, I get fascinated with the names that are in there and the pivots that we saw through COVID and that ability to make a change, you know, to survive into a different era. And what we don't always realize is companies are doing this constantly. COVID actually just gave us this showcase of an ability and a very obvious pivot point. You know, business has been doing this for years based on something that goes on in the marketplace. But COVID just made it just like front and center with the flashing lights and under the neon.
One episode that you missed, which you have to catch up on, is Andrew Pimentel from Powerstone. Now, Andrew is 25 years old, and he started cutting grass when he was in his early teens and built up this company from there as this pool and landscaping business. So he literally started the business when he was a preteen, probably before it was legal. Powerstone was the episode from February. And the other that I know that we were both obsessed with was Stuart Bain from North Star Earth and Space, a space company right here in Montreal. It's incredible.
Yeah, I joked during the show, I was amazed that I just managed to follow it all the way through. But yeah, it was fascinating. And I know that was one of those shows that to me transcended no matter what generation. And, you know, I've got kids in their 20s who are not huge radio listeners in today's world, right? Not a lot of that generation spends a lot of time, especially on AM radio. They were fascinated by the show. Just the whole exercise and everything that comes with it. So, it was kind of mind-blowing. And, you know, for a guy who's not really a space guy, that's me, I just was blown away with the, I guess, the depth and the thought and the global perspective on all of this.
We had the viral TikTok transformer table with Richard Mabley, who combines the virality of TikTok, but also is this really competent business person who has set up this really complicated manufacturing operation. That's transformer table. That was in recent weeks. One more would be Marina Pavlovic-Rivas of Ellie Health.
Yeah.
Really, a really, really brilliant spokesperson and CEO. It's a device where you put your saliva, really, and it tracks your hormones based on your saliva. It's this at-home technology. It's launching soon. And that was a really fascinating product with serious implications for the way that we manage our healthcare at home.
Yeah, it's really taken what, you know, we traditionally thought of throwing your saliva onto a stick or something and putting it into an envelope and sending it to a genetics company to try and figure out your family heritage. All of a sudden, we are now taking that ability to grasp you know, massive amount of information and doing it from home and through an app that, again, another one that's not up my, not up my alley in terms of educational understanding, but it just kind of blew my mind in terms of where this is taking us.
And lastly, Mike, speaking of interesting innovation, quality products, you wanted to leave us with a thought on quality.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is something that's been bothering me for a long time. And, you know, we've danced around, do we want to even turn it into a session? And maybe we'll come back to it in the fall. But I just want to leave our listeners with the thought that, you know, we're living in a highly compliant environment right now. And everything that we do revolves around what some days feels like, you know, getting things signed in triplicate and constantly rubber stamped. And I really do feel like we have... we're suffering in quality, and whether that's service or whether that's product, at the expense of trying to be overly compliant. And I really want, I guess, I people to think on you know, maybe over the few months, and maybe, like I said, if there's enough interest, we'll bring it back as a topic in the fall. But I do feel that we continue to follow and push compliance, which I know we have to in many things, but where does that pendulum swing between going from, you know, product to compliance to finding that balance in between? I think our service industries are suffering. I think the quality of our work are suffering. And the moment that we're more interested in ensuring that we've covered our butts than we are over quality, I think there's something wrong. And I think that's where we are right now. Where do we find that middle of the road pendulum?
You're not going to find a lot of butt coverers on this program on Inspiring Entrepreneurs. I'll tell you that much.
No, definitely not. And like I said, I'm not short of an opinion, but this one kind of bothers me. It goes from every industry you can think of, every environment that you think of, and yes, we need to have compliance, and yes, we need to protect, but there's a certain point in time where it can't be at the expense of the quality of the service or the quality of the product that we're delivering, and we need to find an equal balance. And you know, just throwing that out there is probably not covering my own butt in the statement. So there you go.
Do subscribe to the podcast for, again, 15 years worth of wisdom. So hundreds of these entrepreneur stories and our chats going back since 2009. And it's all in the podcast feed. So on iHeartRadio, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you find your pods. And we hope to be back in the fall on CJD as well. We'll have a special summer episode as well. We're planning maybe a little Inspiring Entrepreneurs road trip. We'll have details on that online. And let's get right to our very special guest, Mike, at the end of this 15th season. He's a giant in Quebec media, in food and manufacturing now, in food production. I mean, the guy is just everywhere. Ricardo, do we even have to say his last name? It's Ricardo Larrivé, co-founder and head chef of Ricardo Media. Welcome to CJD. Welcome back to CJD, Ricardo.
Thank you very much to you guys.
I didn't know he had a last name.
Well, I was joking before. I said, well, Madonna sings and I cook, and that's it. But I'm lucky because, I mean, I have the first name of my godfather, which was an Italian-American from New York. And Ricardo is like, it's universal. I mean, it could be Spanish, it could be Italian, it could be Portuguese, it could be anything. Especially in Canada, I thought it was cool to have a name that doesn't focus on a language or, something specific. So I can talk to everyone with a single name.
So Dan, it's not a marketing ploy, his name. It's actually his real name.
No. It's Ricardo Antony. My godfather's name was with Ricardo Antony Zinidi, and I got his name.
But when you can just be known in an entire society by just your first name, I mean, the brand gets to another level. But Ricardo, for those that don't know, if you're an alien, what is Ricardo and Ricardo Media?
Ricardo Media is an ecosystem built around food. So it started with a TV show in French at CBC, and then a magazine, and then the website, became popular. Actually, when we started it, we didn't even know it. Are we making it? Is it going to be very popular? The web, where's it going? And now on, it's like over 200 million page view a year. And to this, we started to write books, and then say, hey, we should do it in English also. So started to do shows for Food Network and be on all sorts of radio. And then we started to do some cookware, which are in close to 500 stores throughout the country. And then during the pandemic, prepared food happened. And my oldest daughter started to work with our team on this. And now we are in all the IGA in Quebec and in Ontario and spreading across the board. 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, we sold a part of the shares of Ricardo Media to the Sobey family, and to be more, I'd say, armed and equipped to fulfill the dream that my wife, which is still the president of Ricardo Media, and I had, which was to be the first one to be able to be coast to coast to coast in the country, talking about family and food and bringing people together around this fantastic thing that is a meal.
So where are you the happiest? I mean, you just discussed so many things. You brought up so many different directions that your movie is. Where is Ricardo the happiest?
I have different places where it's kind of a bubble. You know, when I'm taping a show, either in French and English, I love this specific moment, like right now, because nobody can write to me. There's no phone. There's nothing. There's just this conversation that brings me into a serene place where I'm left alone. But at
I'm
this,
gonna,
yeah.
I'm going to jump in for a second. So yeah. I feel that when I fly, one word of advice, don't buy the Wi-Fi when you fly, because then people can reach out. Same idea.
And that's one of my fears. Is when I started to see in the airplanes, you know, that you could buy Wi-Fi, oh no, they'll be able to reach me even in a plane. So I can fake all sorts of things. But this is nice. Other places where I'm very happy, when I'm alone in my kitchen thinking of a recipe, even though we're six in the development kitchen, I love when I'm thinking of something, trying to do this first little step before I bring it to the team. That is fantastic. Being in a plant, and it could be in China, it could be in Ontario or in Quebec, with my daughter, going to see people that are going to create either food or, you know, accessory kitchen tools for us. I think it's unique because these people have another knowledge that I don't possess, but I love to hear their vision about, you know, how to build this wooden spatula to make it better, you know? So these little bubbles are great.
You know, I've always seen chefs as people who started as chefs as passionate, and clearly you fit that model. Is it easy to take that passion across so many different pieces or so many different divisions, or, you know, whatever you want to call the work that you're going, and maintain that passion? Because that passion, of course, is what drove you to do what you're doing and will continue to drive you to be the success.
To try to dream, to aim, to be the best in something, whatever it is never easy. It's always sometimes painful, but at the same time, you want this gold medal at the Olympics. And because you're driven towards that dream, you tend to forget all the efforts it takes and all that. And when we started to say, we want to be more than two, we want to be three, we want to be four, we're over 200 now. There's something where I see it exactly like an athlete. You have to reach the second level and be able to forget about the past and just thinking about what's coming up and the road. And that's important. The road is very important. When you're building a company, it's like going on a trip. If you are happy only when you're there, it's only a week, it's going to be 2 weeks. But if you dream about it for 3 months and you have fun enjoying it, then the trip is as fun as the goal. And that is what we always aim to try, to be able to have fun going somewhere. And when it's not fun, we take care of it and we move on.
So, I mean, what, look, there's a lot of moving parts here, but something underneath this, you have a value, you have a something that defines what drives you every day. For some people, it's just that definition of success. For others, it's bringing people together. What is it, Ricardo, that drives everything you do?
Over, I'd say now close to 17 years ago, my wife had breast cancer, and it was a shock, as any couple and family, for my wife first, but then for the rest of us. The youngest was two, and we started to think, okay, we'll get over this. But then what do we want for the rest of our lives? At that time, I said to my wife, you know, if you want to change, if it's too stressful, if there's something, let me know and we'll figure it out. You know, we're there for the rest of our lives. And she says, no, I love this. And you know what? We realized that while some of her friends bring us foods while she was in treatment and everything, says, hey, what if our business could be there for everyone that don't have always this perfect life, that are living alone, that are studying and have no money to cook, or that whatever reason, because if you're passionate about food and you have a bit of money, well, it's easy. But all the others that are coming back home exhausted after their day of work, plus the traffic and whatever, and then it's not over yet. You have to take care of the kids and the homeworks and the bath and all that. So if we could answer to these, what we do would have a purpose. And that has changed our company. Because at that point, we were not just cooking or building, you know, a pot or a pan. We were actually thinking of other families with or without children. When I'm thinking family, I'm talking about whoever is important in your life that you would, you know, care for and do whatever you can to make their life better. So my little part with my team is to say every day we have to bring new ideas, to cook, to bring people together, to have fun, to share, to you know, be able to create this conversation that without, we don't have a meaning as a human being. But with the food, whatever you're thinking is possible.
Ricardo, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show and why I personally find you inspiring is because you came from a media ecosystem in Canada, a public media ecosystem that isn't really entrepreneurial. How did you get out of that ecosystem? And obviously it's a long story, but shorten it for me. And what's the lesson for those who are toiling away in media or in other public sectors in Canada where being entrepreneurial and growing an empire is, there are very few avenues to do that.
Yeah, the only example we had really was kind of Martha Stewart, you know, maybe a bit Jamie Oliver in England. We had started about the same time as me, but very quickly I've noticed, okay, if we want to be, I'd say free to say yes or no to proposition or something, we need to build something strong to be able to say no if it doesn't fit in our values. So very quickly, we made alliance. And I'd say now more than ever, you have to create these alliances where you'll be stronger without being vampirized. So, and that's very important because now, like the media, the big media, when you are a small player, they want to have all your rights. They want to have all your videos. They want to have everything. So what's left for you? And I always compare food to music or theater or something. It's not because you sing a song on a TV show that the song belonged to the TV station. It's still your song. Food to me was the same thing. So from day one, I said to the producers and everyone I was working with, this recipe is my creation. I've worked to make it the best I can. I'm not giving it away. If you want to keep all the rights and everything about it, well, I'm not there. I'm not doing it. I want to play it fair so everyone can make money, everyone can do something, but the rights of your thought, of your creation, whatever you do, you're a sculptor, anyone who's creating something, you have to keep them. If you can share them sometimes, you know, in the partnership, and remembering always that a partnership is temporary. It could be a week, it could be 50 years, but eventually it's going to end up because someone is tired, someone wants to go further than you're going. And I've learned it the hard way that these two things, partnerships are temporary and keep all your rights.
Ricardo Larrivé, Ricardo from Ricardo Media, and of course, part of the IGA family. You see him in your supermarkets. He's really taken over. And Ricardo, I want to go back a little bit to your origin stories. Obviously, you're talking about your Italian background and your love of food earlier on. What was the moment looking back when you decided, maybe there was a moment in your childhood that you wanted to become a food entrepreneur? What was that first spark?
After I've studied at ETHQ, which is an hotel management school in Montreal, I was not sure about that part. So I went back to broadcasting in Ottawa. After that, one of my friends that I made in Ottawa was from Saskatchewan. And he said, hey, there's an opening at CBC. You should come, you know, and it'd be fine. I said, yeah, you know what? Why not? So I packed my car, you know, took my Bay card. This is, I can buy a mattress or something at the Bay at Regina. And I moved out west, and it was the best move of my life. It became my favorite province. I love this place. I love the spirit of the plains and the people there. And CBC said I was the worst technician they ever hired in their history. And they said, you're so bad. What do you want to do for the rest of your life? I was technician at that time. He says, well, my dream is to host a radio show or something like that. He says, hey, if we give you something to talk about on radio, would you quit your, you know, technician, you know, job, which I was permanent. They hired me permanent from Montreal. I said, of course. So I have quit this great job, you know, permanent at, I think at that time, $30,000 for $150 a week. And I said, but what am I going to talk about? They said, you're bad as a technician, but everyone loves to go to your place. We've heard that the food is great, that you have these great parties with everyone. I says, of course, I'm new in that province. I want to live here. I want to meet everyone. So I'm just throwing food parties and I'm getting to know everyone. I says, well, talk about that. And you are going to start next week, Monday. And I says, what am I going to talk about? I says, well, talk about, you know what? I'm just back from vacation. Talk to me about Israel food. I says, okay. So I've looked on the map, went to the library, took a couple of books, and I says, I'm going to be fired on my first day. So the first day, I said, the only thing I'd say is the truth. I says, okay, I wanted to talk to you about this Jewish, turnover with cheese, and it was great, but I couldn't find the cheese. I couldn't find this. I couldn't find this. So I went to the grocery store, and this is what I did instead to make it as close as I could. And when that segment was over, my boss came and says, oh, I love this little fake party, knew nothing about it, and people can relate to it. And it says, I want this every week. So it did two things. I said, wow, I can earn money talking about a personal passion, which is food, and I can discover the world and other culture and people. It changed my life. So forever, I'll be grateful to Saskatchewan, people from Saskatchewan, all the Ukrainian community that was taking care of my first interview. I have great memories there. So each time I can go there, I feel home when I'm back out west.
By the way, just a Jewish question. Was it a cheese blintz or kreplach, maybe, that you were getting the recipe to
Blintz.
there? Blintz,
Blintz.
okay. Just for the record.
Yeah. No, but it's
Yeah.
great because it opened my eyes on something that was far away from me and my own family culture. And it showed from day one, no, food can bring people together. Around a table, there's no more language, religion, political views. There's human beings having fun, getting to know each other. So after a meal, maybe I'll say, oh, I don't agree with him or her on that idea, but what a great person. What a funny guy. What whatever. So it opens doors. So the communication goes on, and I get to go more deeply in these, I'd say, differences that we have. But all of a sudden, you're changing because the other is talking about his passion, you're talking about yours. The kids can express themselves. What better than a family dinner, brunch, breakfast to get to know what's going on in the lives of our parents or children or friends? To me, it's everything. Everything surrounds a meal, and we've created a business around it.
So, Dan, I'm not sure if we previously had a definition of passion, but if we did, we're replacing it.
I'm not regretting our guest choice for the season finale. Let me just say that.
No, there's an awful lot, and unfortunately, it's going to be a short segment. So I'm going to bring you back down to, I guess, a little bit of
Okay.
business reality on this one. Much despite the fact that I'd love to listen to you continue in that vein, discuss the IGA Sobeys
Yep.
move. The whys, the hows, the good, the bad, all of those things that take you from the control that you have and what that looks like when you get involved with a much larger organization.
When we had a proposition from the head office of IGA Sobeys, we just had a family meeting, and we said, my wife and I, to our children, say what? We can build this dream that we have, but there's probably no chance I'll see any result of that I'm dreaming of before, in my lifetime. It's going to be in yours if you take over and you move on. If we partnership with another family that has the same values, with a family from the Maritimes that are really like into, we'd like you to come with us because you're different and we don't want you to be like us. We want us to learn something from you. And I've called other little business they bought. Wherever in the country, and everyone had the same story. They're a local, still small family, even though it's a huge business with tons of employees and all that. And I like this idea of working with someone that has str enough strength to bring your dream further and to make it happen. And this is what I'm doing for the last 3 years, and we never regretted a second. And my daughter is now working in Montreal, not in Ricardo Media anymore, but at the Sobey, office, to get to know more on how are they thinking, what is their goal, how is this family working, so then you can be the perfect bridge between our family and their family, and then it's a business. But when you see it as a family level, it's not numbers. Of course, numbers are there. Of course, there's lawyers and accountants and all that. But when something doesn't work well, Do you want to work with a accountant, with a lawyer? With no, you want to work with another family member, someone that you can trust, you can say how you feel, and find a solution to the problem. Once again, when everything goes well, it's easy. But the real deal is, how do we work together when it's not as we want? Like right now, the economy is not super solid. Food is expensive. People have a budget. How do we respond to this? How do we try to create things that, you know, will make their lives better and simpler and more fun around the dinner time? So that this deal to me was something we had to do.
I love when our guests prove that I'm redundant and don't have a purpose in life as an accountant. I do enjoy that. I have to admit, some of my greatest moments over the years has been as mediator and arbitrator. So the family business does work. Ricardo,
this means the entrepreneur should be guiding the process.
That's all.
You guys are helping.
But guys, I love my teams of, you know, in finance and law and all that. They know it and they're very funny. But at the end, you don't want to go to court anytime soon. You want to have fun around a dinner and find solutions.
Most definitely. Ricardo, you're a man who has accomplished so much. You've come a long way. You're a one named individual. That says it all. What do you have left to accomplish? A, in business, and B, personally?
In business, the most important part, and it reaches a little part of the personal too, is, I think, continuity, transfer. How do you transfer this knowledge that you gained over the last 30 years? How do you make sure that the next generation, our business, will have the same values or will even add to these values different ways, but opening and to be there to be a guide and say, hey, I don't want to tell you everything, how to do it, because you have to make your own mistakes. But if you need someone that won't judge you, but will be there to work with you, well, Brigitte and I will be there for the next, I don't know how many years. You know, I don't want to be the guy at 80 that thinks he knows everything. Maybe I'll know a lot of things, but it's going to be their time to make their mistakes and their success. And I want to be the witness of this. And because my daughter is working with us, if I can transfer this properly and she's happy and I can take more time to eventually, you know, be the grandfather who, you know, let her have more time at work because she's passionate about it, and I can secure, you know, the family part, I'd be, you know, the most, you know, happy grandpa in the world eventually.
And a little overtime now with Ricardo, co-founder, of course, of Ricardo Media. How many products now at this point, Ricardo? Because when I go into the IGA, my wife and I, by the way, we call it now, I'm not sure if anyone said this, but we call it IGA featuring Ricardo.
but we have over, I mean, I think it's over 250, I think.
Oh, wow.
Different items we have in all the categories in a grocery store.
And how have you adjusted to inflation? I mean, people are so budget conscious these days. What kind of strategies have you implemented lately?
Well, yeah, you have to look out. How can I improve the recipe while changing it to make it more cost efficient? And knowing that, you know, people are very good at this. When if you taste it, if you like it or you don't like it, people will comment about it. And we're getting ready also for all the new nutritional, you know, fact that will be added to all the boxes and packaging and all that. So it's to work very closely with our, you know, creation team, with the plant, the different families we work with in Quebec to create these products. It's, I'd say, a tremendous challenge. Sometimes you have to say, we won't be able to make this cake anymore because it's going to be too expensive. And you flush it, even though it was great and you loved it, because it's too expensive. And you will change your recipe or change the whole thing to create something new where, okay, I can have, you know, we're creating sometimes an apple crumbler. Okay, so apples are local. That's going to be less expensive than working with chocolate or simple things like that sometimes to make a very good recipe that is affordable. Even though I always say, if you want to save money and have the best value for your dollar and be healthier, make it yourself. Even though I'm making it, I'm selling in the grocery stores. But I always said, we'll do it because we're not there to judge whatever people want to do to feed themselves and their family. But if you take a recipe, you make it, you'll have this self-esteem pride. Well, wow, I've done this. People love it. You save money. You can look at, you know, what sounds special. The website is there for that. I'm working with great project with, you know, all the IA team of my team and Sobeys to create something to make sure that each time you're making a recipe, you can save money. It's a daily challenge, I'd say.
So I listen to you, you know, you touch on the discussion of what you want to accomplish. And I'm going to ask your opinion on leadership, because to me, leadership is a journey. It's not a destination. I don't think we ever get to that point where we can say, oh, okay, our leadership skills or our leadership knowledge is A, sufficient, and B, is as reached the apex. And, you know, for years, I did a lot of speaking on this topic of leadership. And, you know, it goes from my business card says I'm a leader, so you have to follow me, which we all know doesn't work so well, to the apex, which is replacing yourself by teaching somebody who's going to be even better than you and putting your ego in your pocket. I look at the people you lead within the organization. I look at the people you lead that are reading your books, that your influence is huge. What's your take on leadership, and where did that inspiration come from to be the leader that you've become?
I totally agree with what you said. I mean, you have to be humble to say, I don't know everything. Actually, I don't know much. The only thing I know is that if I surround myself with people who know more than me, I can only be a better person. And people don't follow for nothing. They follow if they trust. And the real leader at Ricardo Media is my wife. It's Bridget. They know that she's very calm. She's not as flamboyant maybe as me, but she's trustable and fair, and that is very important. So together we're strong, because I entertain, I energize, I have ideas, but these ideas have to be focused into something precise. This is where we go. I'd say that up to a certain extent, I could be stressful for teams because I have too many ideas and say, do we have, you know, the staff to do all this? Can we do this? So now sometimes I have to learn to shut up. They say, okay, well, we'll organize these thoughts and make sure that we secure everyone and the rest of the team, all the other VP and directors, they're all on the same ship with us. We are there to make sure that it's focused, it's simple. This is where we go. We aim there and we stick to our words. If it goes well, Bill, every 3 months we have a meeting now on Zoom where everyone is there, and Brigitte and all the directors will say, okay, this is what we did for the last 3 months. This is what we are aiming for. This is what we did. And if it's good, if it's bad, everyone is on the same page. And I say that if you're very honest and you say things as they are, people will follow because they will trust you. But it takes time to build that trust, but it's very, very fast to lose it and make it, you know, tough to recuperate. And
takes a career to build and 5 minutes to lose at the end of the day,
totally,
from a trust perspective.
Totally.
I look around the world today, and, you know, some days I feel like I'm starting to sound like my father, and I'm getting older when I show a little disgruntled opinion on a lot of things. What's your opinion on leadership right now, and where do you see us going? I find, and maybe I'll be political here for a second, I find that we lack commitment to a process. I find that we lack commitment to leading other people. I think COVID has created an awful lot of navel gazing and a lot of it's about me mentality. Where do you see this going, and what word of advice would you give for people that are going to embark upon a leadership role?
One, the first thing I do every morning is, you know, I read at least 4 newspapers, you know, French, English, one in Europe, just to get to have this news that could be so different from a language to another, from a country to another. And I'd say we have to trust into something that we have in ourselves. If we, you know, like, I'm not a super religious person, but still, if one line was more applied in our daily life, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. I mean, people forget, like I travel a lot outside Canada. I'm so happy when I'm back because we still have this sense of, I'd say, sharing with others. You know, when I'm in the States, quite often, sometimes even right now, because people are so divided in ideas and it's tough to talk and argue, but when the argument is done, it's over. Let's move on and have this dinner. You know, it's we don't have to agree on everything. But if you can't talk about it, it's funny, in my elevator in Florida, someone said once, oh, yeah, you have an accent from Canada. Said, yeah. Well, oh, are you really communist? And this is, how far can you be? What are you saying? No. I am someone that believe in social democracy. I'm happy to pay income taxes and taxes if it makes, well, happy. Yeah, if it's well spent, you know, if it makes sure that you can go to an hospital, you can go to school, everyone has a chance to create a new country better than what we did. Yeah, I'm happy to give that 50% of my salary. But it's a vision. It's how we, but we have to protect it and battle the extremists on both levels and try to be, I remember, and I'll say, as you said, now I sound like my father, but it was nice when there was a center, you know, and that center, you could, yeah, I could vote for him or for him, but at the end, I mean, we'll kind of go back to this middle line. And yes, it moves slower sometimes, but at the end, it brings everyone. There's a line that I love. My grandmother was saying, in a family, you have to walk at the slowest pace of a member of your family. Otherwise, you'll be alone at the end race. If you, of course, some will take longer to, you know, get aboard the ship, but that's what we have to do. There's no point of going somewhere alone. So I wish our politicians could be a bit more in the center and we could argue a bit more. I mean, social media have destroyed a part of that. It's easy to bash someone. It's easy to bash on politicians, on anyone who has an idea different than yours. If she or he was in front of you, would you say these words? How would you react? I mean, we should put ourselves always in a position that says, okay, when I'll answer something on whatever X or Twitter, X or I don't know, Facebook, I would choose these exact words if that person was in front of me. And once again, I'll go back to food. This is why I believe into a dinner or a lunch at the office, just with a couple of sandwiches. You know, even if they're not that good, these sandwiches, you'll have a moment talking with other colleagues that are different and that could, you know, maybe change your mind on something, especially now with all the wars around. You want to be surrounded with people that don't think the same way you are. And maybe I'll say something in private that is almost offensive to the other one in front. But if it's what you think and you're not afraid to say so, the other one will have a chance to say, hey, whoa, 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 you're going too far in that way. I'll tell you why I don't see it that way. And at the end of that lunch, maybe, you know, I have changed a bit. And after 3, 4, 5, 10 lunches, all of a sudden, yeah, we agree on this. It's true. We've been too far in that direction. Or maybe we should try this. We're not talking enough. In the business, I always say, if you have a bit of money, hire someone to tell you how to talk to each other. Communication is everything. We don't know how to do it in our personal lives. We don't know how to transfer our fears and hope to even our children. How are we going to do it to our employees and colleagues? Communication is everything. Sometimes good intentions are there, but we've chosen and picked wrong words. And all of a sudden, instead of helping, I've put some oil on the fire and it doesn't help. But I had a good intention. I've learned over the years that I know nothing. And there's not a school where you learn how to become an entrepreneur. It's a gut feeling you have. My wife, you know, was a nutritionist, still is, you know, at UDM and very, you know, with a scientific mind and a way of working. I have a cook communication background and nothing prepared us to become what we have to do every day. So, of course, you will do mistakes and I've been bad maybe in firing someone, not doing it the proper way. So that action becomes something positive in that lives of that person. But I've learned and surrounded myself with other very good people that could say, you know, Ricardo, next time we'll do it that way. Oh, okay. Let's try it that way. If you don't fear of being wrong, there's more chance you'll be right somewhere along the path.
Ricardo, we're going to have your one piece of advice for inspiring entrepreneurs in just a moment. But last question. I just want to talk about food because I'm a foodie and, you know, we see your products a lot. I'm a big fan of your barbecue chicken. Your bûche desserts I love as well. What's new in the supermarkets and what are some of your favorites lately?
Well, I'd say in the supermarkets in general, if you've noticed anywhere you are in the country, and that's a good thing. There's more spices, but more also, I'll say pepper, spicy, things that are hotter, warmer in their mouth, explosions of flavors. We like that. And you see more and more of that because of everyone that's, you know, traveling or moving to Canada and all that. It's a good thing. I can see that I can add more things to my dishes in my recipes according to heat or spice that never 20 years ago, people was, it's too much of this, it's too much of that. Now people ask for more. To me, it's a very good sign. Also a sign of opening to other cultures. We're moving somewhere. We're tasting different ways. And I would say, again, food brings us into something that is securing. Because you have, I say, also, you know, like in Quebec, the pâté chinois or whatever, very traditional food, even the poutine, you know, all of a sudden you have a Thai poutine. You have a, we went beyond what was just a little traditional first little thing. And all the cultures are mixing. And eventually in 200 years, we'll be like France or Greece or Italy. We will have created our own specific food culture because of all these blends together. Starting with something and all of a sudden, you know, it's an explosion of flavor that you don't know exactly where it's from, but it's yours.
And you will have contributed to that food culture. We're going to get to your one piece of advice on the way. Thank you, Ricardo.
I just want to throw in, Dan, that, you know, so based on that logic, the next time somebody from, like, you know, southern U.S. asks me what the food of Canada is, I no longer have to say poutine.
No. But at the same time, we have to be proud of what we have. If others have picked poutine, because most of us would have loved to have something else, you know, to be mentioned when you talk about food from Quebec. But if this is what people love, I mean, you can't fight this. You can't fight love. I mean, there's fat, there's sugar, there's salt. Of course, it's great, a poutine. So let's embrace it and create other dishes with everything we are and we have.
15th season, our season finale, and Ricardo's on the way with his one piece of advice for inspiring entrepreneurs. Dan Delmar and Mike Newton with you, and let's bring in our specialist at BDO Canada. Ariel Blais is a digital marketing specialist at BDO, and she also helps produce this program for many years. Ariel, welcome to the show, I guess.
Thanks for having me.
So let's do a little boot camp right now, because certainly in the summer season, a lot of marketing activities drop off, but you still want to maintain some marketing, especially online. Let's do a little boot camp, Mike, for those entrepreneurs who need to maybe increase their marketing spend, or at least automate it and make it part of their regular operations.
Yeah, sometimes we forget who our customers are, right? And who we're trying to serve. So I think maybe, Ariel, let's kick off with your thoughts on understanding your customer and specific customer segments. I don't think as a supplier, we always know best. So
no, exactly. What often happens is that people lay themselves a bit too thin and try to target everybody. But the issue is when you're talking to everybody, it's like you're talking to nobody, because no one feels like they're being targeted or highlighted by your message. So one key thing to consider when putting together a marketing strategy, or if you're developing a new product or looking to change your message, is first to think about who is it that we're talking to. What are their pain points? What is it that they're looking for? What is it that our service or our offering can help alleviate in their life to make their lives easier? Or, you know, are we offering just a luxury service or a luxury item to come and help these people with something? And you have to go further than anything that's geographic or just age-wise. You have to think, you know, what does this person's day-to-day look like? What is their education level? What is their family life look like? What does their social life look like? The importance here in building a persona to know not only how to speak to this person, but where to come in contact with them is something that's really important. I feel that a lot of people take for granted at times.
We live in a world of immediacy. Solve my problem now. Attack the client today. Go in that model. But I think you've always believed that your long-term strategy is certainly more important than a short-term tactic. And I some days I feel that goes against a lot of what we see on from a marketing perspective.
Absolutely. And especially like with social media, a lot of people's goal is to get viral and to have like a very short-lived moment of fame. But you have to think that if you're just a one-hit wonder, no one's going to think about your brand afterwards. Or if they do, it might be negative. So in the end, you have to think about what is a way that you can engage constantly with your client, especially if you want a client to come back and it's not just like a one-time purchase. So putting together a strategy that's going to be able to engage your client or potential client on the long term, instead of thinking about small tactics, because in the end, if you have a bunch of small tactics that are different and that don't come and complement one another, you're either going to get a bunch of different audiences at different points. So again, no consistency, or you're just sending out multiple different messages, which in the end can be a bit contradictory within each other.
So as our listeners know, I spend 12 hours a day living with accountants, and you know, accountants are based on numbers. And there's nothing that I find more frustrating when trying to lead a direction is the ROI discussion on a marketing initiative. This is not all about numbers, is it?
No, it's not. And sometimes getting those numbers can be really difficult, especially if you're selling like a service and your client's funnel is like a really long journey for them to get to convert or to get to purchase your service. That ROI can be difficult. So I think a lot of people have to take things into perspective that certain metrics are not going to be dollar signs. It's important to see growth, to see engagement. Are people coming to your website? How long are they staying on your website? Are people coming back to your website? And in the end, you also have to not think of just vanity metrics. In the end, like your number of followers, the number of likes you have on one post really isn't the most important thing. And unfortunately, for a lot of entrepreneurs who decide to work with like agencies, I find that often reports are based off of those vanity metrics to make it look like the results are there when they're not. So I often recommend to take numbers with a grain of salt, and you want to see trends over time. How are things going compared to last quarter, compared to this time last year, and not just, oh, well, in the last month, we had so many likes, so many new followers.
I love that expression, vanity metrics. And as someone who's more on the PR side and less in the web marketing side, this is a battle I have a lot with traditional marketers, is what do these metrics mean? What does a like mean? Is the proper metric not how many likes you have, but how many conversions after or during a campaign, perhaps in the following months? That you have on your website is jumping from social media to the website ultimately what the conversion you're looking for?
Yeah, well, it obviously depends on what your end goal is. Your end goal could just be to have people on your website. It could be to have people sharing your posts. It could be to have people actually purchasing an item or the service. So that's something to consider when putting together your strategy, is what is your goal in the end? Which I think a lot of people don't consider. A lot of people just are like, I want sales. Well, you might not be getting sales off the bat. You have to build up to the sale. And it's like having someone come into a store. Unless the person is coming specifically for something and they're browsing, you kind of have to get into that game of seduction and get them interested in who you are, your brand, your mission, your vision, and align with that to make them convert in the end.
I think if we would have lived on vanity metrics, Dan, I don't think we'd be talking to each other 15 years later when we started this. I think the first few guests, I think the only people who listened were their families. So, I mean, obviously, you got to have a bigger picture in mind at the end of the day. Just kind of dumb it down for us. One last thought, Ariel, here is you brought up the word funnel. Does a funnel differ in digital marketing than it does in sales, than it does in other places that we've used funnel?
I think technically speaking, it doesn't, because it's really just like a model to visualize how you get your clients. So often you'll start up with a large group of people, and from one step to another, that group of people gets whittled down to your actual clients. And at the top of your funnel is like, how are we getting the most people to either come into contact or acknowledge our brand or our service? So often that'll be like large scale marketing, like advertising, or, you know, using keywords online, putting an ad in the newspaper, an ad on the radio, something that'll come into contact with a lot of people that aren't necessarily all your target audience. And then how do we maintain that audience to get them to the desired conversion? The funnel isn't new and the funnel isn't going anywhere, but in your long-term strategy, I think it's efficient and important to know what your funnel is, to know what are those key contact points that you can have with your clients, and know how to capitalize on those moments to show them that what you're offering is what they need or what will help them to relieve those pain points that we mentioned earlier.
Ariel Bleh, video marketing specialist and one of the producers of Inspiring Entrepreneurs for many years. Thanks, Ariel, and thanks for your amazing work on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And as we come to the end of our show, let's turn to our entrepreneur, Ricardo, and ask him for his one piece of advice, or at least one big picture piece of advice for inspiring entrepreneurs at the end of our 15th season. Ricardo, what do you think?
Balance. If you want to be the best at something, of course, you won't be balanced. You'll be excessive in everything. Nobody wins a medal at any sports by being just half of what they could be. They have to be more than what they are. But you have to be very aware of the price that will be there physically, mentally, economically. Are you willing to pay it? Do you want it? Of course, we don't want to be unbalanced, but think about it and say, what is the price I'm willing to pay? And think of yourself, because this business is not everything. Tomorrow, if it goes down, what do you have left? You have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, you have children, what do you have left that won't be that business? And if you always think of that at the end, you'll be happy, because you will have balanced work and the other side, the emotional family part.
Pleasure speaking with you, Ricardo. A really, truly inspiring end to the season. Thank you for your time.
Thanks to you guys.
And thanks to the entire CJD team for helping to get this show on the air, including a technical producer, Marco Campagna, on our end here at TNKR Media, our technical director and editor, Fernando Helso, and executive producer, Marjorie Valsin, who gets us all these incredible guests, as well as producer Ariel Bleh on BDO side, who handles the marketing. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Apple for bonus content throughout the summer, and we hope to see you back here very soon. Enjoy your summer.
This has been a production of TNKR Media. Good talk.